Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is the Urban Village. I'm Colette Barris. Thank you for joining me in our old school community, the Village. That Friday evening, house to house, house party, get together, decompression. This is the place. This is where it all comes together in our village. There's a lot going on right now. A whole lot. From Russia and the Ukraine, the destruction, worrying about what's going on, the slap heard around the world. I'm really sick of that. COVID is back. Yes, COVID is back. And I got some updated information regarding the life expectancy of people of color. You know, it's up 2 years. Yay! It's up. Again, welcome. I want to start with, and we cannot forget Brittany Griner. Cannot forget Brittany. Cannot. I read a story in NAMI. NAMI is a really, really important organization. It's all about the mental health, and it deals with the mental health of people of the African or Black descent. You know, NAMI said that when taken and polled, 63% of Black people felt that having to deal with mental illness was a sign of weakness. And I want to say that we, of all people in America, have every single right to worry about our mental health and our sanity, because every day, it doesn't matter if we have Supreme Court Justice Brown Jackson, first Black woman to sit on the Supreme Court in over 200 years. It doesn't matter that we have people and things going on. We have been traumatized, and we're told to be resilient, to suck it up, to pray, and God will make it okay. God gives you a sound mind, and I always kind of attest to, you have to use it. You have to use a sound mind. And we've seen so much. We've just seen so much. You know, we're coming off barely 2 summers ago of George Floyd and all the continuation. We have a lot that we're trying to deal with. We're congratulating and doing our celebratory dance with Judge Brown Jackson. But you know what? It was painful watching, you know, the Senate convene to see if they were going to allow her. I mean, you know, I had to turn it off because it was like she took so much abuse. And it just made me realize that, you know, microaggressions and the betrayal that, you know, the good Black, the intelligent Black is able to hold it all in and not have that angry Black woman moment that they all say to you, well, you know how they are. We have to hold that all in. What is that doing to us? What is that doing to us? And then to have other cultural or ethnic groups follow up and be empowered with the madness of white supremacy and put us through it when we have always, always in our adversity, in our protests, we fought for the rights of everyone. Ever thought about no one really fights for us except us? It's super hard. So yes, we have every reason to have mental health issues. Every reason. You know, I read about 20 years ago, there was this 30-year study done on the descendants of the survivors of the Holocaust. And in this study, the research came up with the fact that the descendants of the Holocaust had higher rates of high blood pressure, depression, and other diseases. So much so that the country of Germany has to pay reparations to the descendants, Because every one of our cells, ladies and gentlemen, have a memory. And if we think back in this country, man, we've been kind of going through it almost 500 years, 472 years to be exact. A lot of cell memory, a lot of pain, a lot of confusion that we, you know, don't even realize today when we have to deal with the trauma of it, that, you know, we're going through a lot. Dr. Joyce DeGruy calls it post-traumatic slave syndrome. You want to read a great book? Get Dr. Joyce and really, really learn something. Learn about the effect of the enslavement. Learn how it takes our time and raises our cortisol levels. Learn about the physiological differences that have been caused by the trauma we've experienced. So I kind of believe, NAMI, there's probably 63% of us who say, yeah, dealing with that makes us weak because we've always had to be so amazingly strong. And so when we talk about Will Smith, people say, well, he went off. He didn't have to do that. But you don't understand the physiology, the biophysiology that was going on in his body, in his brain, surrounding trauma, past trauma, that those cells, our cells, remember. And what I find, I'm going to say this and then I'm leave it alone. Chris Rock, and I'm going to pull it up. I'm going to give you the date. I mean, this was a published article. And I'm going to put in Chris Rock Mental Health, People Magazine. Here we go. People Magazine. Let me read this to you. Okay. People Magazine, September 18th, 2020. So not even quite 2 years. Chris Rock reveals he was diagnosed with nonverbal learning disorder. And this was People Magazine. It goes on to say, Chris Rock is opening up about being diagnosed with a learning disorder as an adult. In a new cover story for The Hollywood Reporter, the 55-year-old top five actor revealed that he, after a 9-hour series of cognitive tests this year, was diagnosed with nonverbal learning disorder, NVLD. So why do I say that? Because Chris Rock was put in a situation that he probably shouldn't have been put in. Because in doing so, without having protection in order, when Will Packer said, well, he was doing great all week, the jokes were loaded into the teleprompter, and then he went off script and began with the G.I. Jane. Well, at that point, if I'm looking and I'm seeing that he's admitted that he's got some mental health issues going on, I would have had such a tight rein that the moment he went off script, his mic should have been cut. They should have went to band playing anything. Because what it did was create a situation where Will Smith was going to have a negative or an adverse effect happen. Did Will Smith have to go to the extreme of slapping him? No. But it was like, you know, he wasn't going to stop. And I just find it amazing that I have not seen one article about something that he clearly states. Because again, people are covering. They're covering what they're doing. You know, they always will pit us against one another. And this is one thing that should have never happened. Never happened at all. Will Smith and Jada Pinkett, she didn't deserve it. And that brings me to Judge Brown Jackson. If you're a black woman, regardless of what you may think, I'm sure you thought and could feel her pain. You could feel the angst of it. Because you know what? We do feel unprotected. Yes, we have to always stand up for ourselves. And that might be why we have this toughness about us in terms of our finish. We're tough. But don't think that we don't want to be protected. We just don't. We are not protected. And so therefore, we just go, oh, shit, here I have to go again. Because everyone knows that we're going to stand up for ourselves. Because we have to. A couple years back, I read, and it's more true today. Take a guess on, in terms of women in this country, the most educated women, professional women, are black women. And that creates a terrible problem for us as we work. Because there's always these challenges, right, that we face. And irregardless of how many degrees you may hold, your experience, what you've done, there's always, you know, the lone person on your job, you know, not even your peer, just someone you work with that wants to screw with you to see what they can do. What pulls they can make on you. You know, what reaction, you know. And it's like, you wouldn't do this to anyone else. But they always will try. Always try. And probably in more than half the cases get their feelings hurt. But, you know, those things take a role on, they break our souls down. Because after a day of contentiousness on a job, when you come home to your haven or retreat, you know, you have to take a moment and kind of decompress and take the slime and that bad energy off of you. And so, you know, our lifestyles, our life, it's super, super difficult. Super difficult. Super difficult. Super difficult. And that's why we have to be so careful. You know, it's like the victim becomes the guilty one. And those doing the victimization, you know, they're the ones that cry foul and point and scream and kick. And it's like a whole different day. But we have to really, community, we have to really work hard because there's so much button pushing out there. I mean, everyone is trying to push buttons, our buttons. Because see, once you can get someone's button push, then the control is lessened. And so there's all this wrangling about who's going to control what, who, where, and why. And we have to be more studious about it. More aware that it's happening. And realize that even within your own families, your own friends, families, people who you work with, people you may have hired, there's resentment, there's animosity, there's punitive jealousy, all of it. And it probably, in most cases, has nothing to do with anything you've done. It's their issues that they project onto someone else. So we have to be really careful in this day and age. We really, really do. You have to think about a lot. You have to move with precision. You have to move with self-respect and love. You just have to be so, so careful. So careful. Because trust me when I say there are people who live to lie. Live to lie. live to have confusion. They're just not happy. They just truly, that's just who they are. I want to talk about Brittany Griner a little bit. You know, she's not the only U.S. citizen that has been held on false charges. There was a military, there's military personnel there. One soldier was leaving and he was pulled aside and he's been there for 6 years. I read an article in the New York Times that alluded to the fact that his parents now, for the first time in 6 years, are growing weary that if he's still even allowed to, you know, not even allowed, but if he's still alive at this point, they are really worried. They also said that they'd bet their car that Brittany Griner didn't have marijuana, that this was a typical kind of way of arresting people that is employed in Russia. And Russia won't stop. They will not stop. I mean, we're almost seven weeks into this now. And supposedly the sanctions were going to cripple the ruble. That's the currency that's used in Russia. Guess what? It's back to being normal. So what the hell? What was it all about? And what the president of Ukraine wanted, he said, if you don't want to keep the airspace safe, we get it. We don't want the world to go down in an atomic or nuclear accident because Russia has 5,099,300 bombs and the United States has 5,340 some odd atomic bombs. I think we're like, you know, we're groveling over little stupid stuff. We get it. But at the same time, we should have cleared the airspace or given them the ability to do it themselves. Putin will say, oh yeah, I'm going to open up a humanitarian corridor right now. Women and children, let's go. What did they do? Blow up the train station today. Kill 50 people. And this is not new. It's just bad. It's people acting really badly. It's people who are European or white killing and maiming and destroying other Europeans or whites. The unthinkable, everyone, ladies and gentlemen, has happened again. White people killing white people. We know we're in something right now when that happens. Brown on brown, black on black, crime has always been a thing. And black mothers and people of color praying. We give our kids that talk that they have to employ when they're out in the world to keep them safe the best we can. But some of the best laid plans go sideways. But we still keep trying. We still keep trying. Sideways. But we still keep trying. We still keep trying. We have to keep trying. We have to do what we can and, you know, really. And you know what truly kind of bothers me? The lack of respect and love we have for the elders, be it from our parents on down. There's this like, we don't even acknowledge their importance and their worth. And all of our elders are really kind of fearful to deal with the millennials and with even the Gen Xers even other peers because they don't want it to erupt in violence. And violence is real. It's very, very real. Very real. And when it happens to us, we want to stop everything and be able to understand, someone understand our pain. But again, in this system, we're told, tough it up, be resilient. And I really don't know who came up with that. When I first heard it some years back, I was like, damn, that's dumb. Resilient? We were born resilient. It just shows you the lack of formative understanding of black people. We were born resilient. We don't have a choice. We don't have a choice. We have to be resilient to get anywhere, to do anything. We have to have resiliency. So all y'all folks, stop saying that. Take a moment and reflect. instead of just going off and think, yeah, if they would just know you're wrong, just stop saying that. We are born resilient because we have never had the choice. You know, we've always had to hit it hard. And what's the line? I think it's from Cat on a Hot Tin Roof. And she says, she's crying and she's kind of emotional. And Elizabeth Taylor's character says, I've always, always had to basically thrive and be cajoled by the kindness of strangers. And are we back to that now? Are people kind and we don't know? It's always a hold your breath moment because you don't know what's going to come out of their mouths after 2 years of COVID. You would hope for humanity, but it just seems like it doesn't happen sometimes. You would hope for humanity, but it just seems like it doesn't happen sometimes. So I learned, you know, going to the hairdresser over my way, I saw a building and it was called, and it was a big billboard and the building was there. It's called Zeus Studios, Zeus TV. And it's a young black guy that may be 34, 35 at the latest. And he talked about, you know, some people said his Zeus streaming service was, you know, exploitative, the things that they prescribed to. And there was a back and forth about, well, you're not making quality films. And he said, well, the things that I do have that are quality, you don't watch it. And they were arguing back and forth, back and forth. But what I'd like to say is, you know, we've got to do better. We've just got to do better. We've got to bring, damn it, if it means that every time you enter a building, classroom, place of work, that you get your sage out and keep things straight and free of bad energy, you know? Because that stuff, it's real. It's very real. Well, the weather in Southern California was a bear. Oh my God, it was horrible. Today at 10:19, it's probably close still to 85, 90 degrees in the shade. This morning in Los Angeles, west side of Los Angeles, where there's the breeze constantly, 97 degrees. I thought I was going to melt, but I made it through. But goodness, it made me weak. I'm still weak the whole day. I need to go get myself some Pedialyte to improve my electrolytes. But, you know, I digress, and I'll have to deal with it. Bev sends her love. We had a conversation. She's busy trying to work on things. The job is kind of opening up. So we'll have her back. Just give me a moment. We'll have Bev back. But Coima, I have a love affair. A love affair with Coima. Because of my early years, it gave me so much strength, so much pride, so much love that, you know, it's a place where I can go to the well and draw the energy I need just to keep going, because sometimes it gets so hairy, so crazy. But Pacoima is home to so many good and kind people. You know, we loved it. We still love it. Oh, but the gentrifiers are trying hard. Well, it's almost time. It is that time. So what I want to say to you is this. The story is never told. I mean, never told until the storyteller, is who? The lion. And the hunter, well, he gets kicked to the curb and he is not. So remember that. This has been a Brown Bear, Reggie Valens, Patrick Bolton, Don Carter, and Karen Bennett. Oh, and the adorable, lovely, my sage, Bev production. Good night. Read Claretta Street. Want to have love, that village again, community, support? Claretta Street by Colette Barris. available at bookstores everywhere.